You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, hour number three. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got local, we got state, we got national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. We're about to go to the phones here in a minute, but I do need to point out that we are just going to continue this as a section of our home fries. That's right, cook them up. Cooking up some home fries, things that are happening around your backyard, around your small towns, around right here in the state of Alabama. By the way, before we go to the phones, I will point out that one story, home fry story, is the young lady, Carly Russell, who admitted that she was not kidnapped on I-459, has now been arrested and charged with lying to the authorities, but apparently it's only for misdemeanors. So there's that. That happened just as the show was going on the air. So home fries, Carly Russell charged with lying to the Hoover police in her fake kidnapping. Wow. Okay. Hey, listen, we're going to the phones right now. Our friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, has been like gallivanting around the world, jet setting with all of the big wigs, and she's now back home. Hey, Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. It's good to be back in the saddle.
Well, we are actually very glad that you are. But yeah, you've had an opportunity to do a bit of travel, gone to a conference or three, and now that you're back, let's talk about some home fries.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting to be able to compare notes with other leaders kind of in the movement, as they say, from across the nation, and just compare notes and see what's going on in other states and how it compares to Alabama, some good things that we're doing. You know, we got to highlight, and there are definitely some deficits and some good things that some other states are doing that we ought to copy.
So this was the Family Policy Council Conference, is that right?
Yes. So there are 38 family policy allies, as they call them, which that's become kind of a hot-button word these days, but that's what they're called. And so there are 38 states that have a Family Policy Council affiliate or ally, and we're one of them. And actually, and for years, Alabama was the only organization in the nation that was both a family policy group and a state policy network group. But while I was in Florida at that meeting, we actually approved Oklahoma and their policy group to be both as well. So we share that distinction with the great state of Oklahoma now.
Well, they're just trying to get on board what they see working over here. So Family Policy Council, correct me if I'm wrong, but they are an extension of the FRC at the national level, the Family Research Council. Is that correct?
Yes, that is right.
Yeah.
So it's the Family Research Council and the Family Policy Council.
Yeah, very, very conservative. Social policy, a lot of it, conservative Christian, and we've had Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin on the show several times. He's the vice president. Tony Perkins, of course, is the president. But yeah. So what were your takeaways from it? I mean, you go to these. I did the same conference a few years ago when I was on API staff, and you're right. You compare notes, but sometimes you come away with I could do this better, or I'm glad we're doing this better than them. What were your takeaways?
Right. I mean, there were some internal things, but the external things that I took away as kind of suggestions or best practices, but the external things were interesting because several of the topics that these different state organizations are battling on the, kind of social conservatism front, we've already taken care of in the state of Alabama. So there was a point of pride there.
Yeah.
Whether or not that was gender transition surgeries for kids and some, variations of CRT and protecting, tender years children in public elementary schools as far as levels of indoctrination and things like that. So there are some things that Alabama is doing well on that social conservative side. It was interesting to see some of the, blue states, as we call them, some of the things that they were dealing with are just not even on our radar, or our radar here, which was kind of a, oh, thank goodness we don't have to deal with forced assisted suicide measures in the legislature. I actually looked at the guy from Connecticut, and I was like, you're from Connecticut, not Canada, correct? Because,
yeah.
You know, assisted suicide is just, it doesn't even, that seems like not even an American problem, but learning some defensive strategies, just to be honest, from, you know, the Connecticuts and the Californias of the world is not unwise. And so I came home with some good strategy and some good ideas, both internally and externally. So it was a great experience, and it's just good to be around like-minded people who are kind of pulling the same direction.
I tell you, one thing that I remember from going to the same conference was, and you kind of alluded to this, is in the blue states, watching what they're dealing with, I also sometimes would almost feel a little bit like I've got it too easy. These guys are out there really nugging it out in what would have to be considered almost a hostile environment, and their level of passion and stick-to-itiveness was inspiring. At the same time, it was also a little bit like intimidating, because I got to be in the question, am I as committed as they are, because I'm in a state where it's not quite as hard as what they have to deal with.
Right, and I will say that, you know, legislatively, we have to deal with some of the same things, but we have this added benefit in Alabama of kind of just having that knowledge and understanding that the vast majority of Alabamians, you know, polling-wise and just kind of comfort-wise, agree with us on a lot of things. And so, but that's the exact opposite of what they have in states like Delaware and Connecticut,
yeah,
Oregon and California. And so everything feels like an uphill battle for them. And so that's instructional for us to kind of take a step back and you know, just appreciate what we have as far as, you know, being able to walk outside and have viable churches on those street corners and, you know, a kind of a body of like-minded people, both, you know, in for the ballot box and just, you know, how people believe, you know, in their heart of hearts. And so that it's good to see that and see those different kind of take stock of where we are. But there were also some challenges. There were some red states and even a few kind of purple states that are doing a little bit better than us legislatively, just frankly. And so it was a little instructional because there was some conversation. You know, there's always a pecking order. And so everybody's trying to be, you know, the most whatever. And so the Oklahoma guys and the Iowa guys and a couple of other states, Georgia, Florida, it was in Florida, you know, kind of comparing notes on who gets the reddest distinction. And it looks like we lost out on that legislative.
Huh. Well, there you have it. Well, let me ask you this. Let me switch gears on you a little bit. Because while you were gone, Governor Kay Ivey became a school choice advocate. I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. I mean, here you're out of the state, and all of a sudden we got a school choice governor. But no. But I mean, seriously, I'm sure you saw that, and the story came out on Alabama Daily News. Todd Stacey did an interview with the governor on Capital Journal, which is the public television show that he hosts. And lo and behold, and I've said before, I don't know if who was more surprised that she answered that way, him or her. But I look at it and think, well, where have you been, Governor? But now apparently we're working on something, because she said there is legislation that we are considering. I paraphrase slightly, but a bill, I believe she called it. What are you hearing? What are you thinking? Are we going to be a school choice state in the truest sense?
Well, that was a perfect segue, because actually what I've heard through the grapevine is that she's gone to a few of these national conferences this summer herself and may feel a little challenged from some other red states, and that may be the impetus of her renewed interest, which is perfectly fine with me. I would say whether or not we're going to be a school choice state or not depends on what your definition of school choice is. My definition of school choice is universal educational freedom for every single child in the state of Alabama.
Right.
Whether or not that's Governor Ivey's definition of school choice kind of remains to be seen. Obviously, as soon as I got home, I started reaching out to different coalition members and members of her staff and staff, legislative staff, and other legislators who I knew would be interested. And so the good news is that there's renewed interest, and it just kind of remains to be seen what that means.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to take a break right now. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure, of course.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's keep that conversation going, because I'd like to do a little open speculation on the air with you and see where you think we're going, but then also, what can we do? I mean, there's the true sense. I want our audience to hear, if there's a way for them to engage this process, then let's do it. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're on the line right now with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going right back to the phones right now with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. And by the way, if you're not familiar with API, a conservative think tank and advocacy organization here in the state of Alabama, it's been around for over 30 years, and Stephanie is the leader of the organization. All right, so Stephanie, we were talking about school choice right before we went to the break. Your thoughts. I mean, I one of my biggest concerns is going to be they're going to find a way to mitigate this down so that the state school board actually controls the school choice, which means it's not really choice. What are your thoughts?
I think you're exactly right. I've talked to several legislators and several of the coalition members who helped push for the Price Act during the last legislative session, and it sounds like what at least the legislative side is going to be pushing for, unless Governor Ivey comes up with something different, is basically what I'm calling, and it's almost verbatim, the Utah law, which is the law that was passed by Utah and then was actually introduced this past session in the House. And we've done a thorough analysis of that because it was introduced last session, so we can speak on it pretty authoritatively pretty quickly. And basically, it is what I would term school choice light, in that it goes through the state board of education. And so every private school in the state would have to go through an accreditation process if they wanted to be part of the program that the state board of education would administer. And so it pays a little bit of lip service to whether or not that the board of education could influence, things like curriculum or, tuition or fees or, who could go to the private schools and whatnot. But if that piece of legislation as written is passed, it is troublesome to say the very least, because it's not true freedom or parental choice, because it's being run through the Board of Education, and so there are some questions governance-wise of whether or not that would actually be freedom.
I look at this and think, okay, if you had a bunch of new athletic teams and you wanted them to get like some training on how to be the best at whatever sport they were in, so you go and hire the losing coach to come in and tell them how to do their job. That's what you're talking about here. You're saying, hey, we've been doing such a crappy job in Alabama that we remained at the bottom of the rankings for like for as long as we can remember, and we're finally branching out into school choice. Hey, I tell you what, let's let the people who have failed for years be the ones who are now in charge of the new version of so-called choice. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, and it creates I think you're exactly right.
It really makes me mad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's one of those, it's a lack of foundational understanding, in my estimation, which is there's this lack of understanding that it really is not the state's job to educate my children if I want my children educated a different way. And so there is this kind of disconnect between a lot of who I call the educrats in Montgomery and just the people of Alabama, which is an understanding that it is each parent's job to educate their children, and then they should be the ones to decide who they bring alongside their family to help them educate their children, whether or not that's themselves an online program, a private school program, or a public school program, but the public education apparatus based in Montgomery has the idea that it's their job and that our children are their children to educate, and that it's a foundational problem.
Yeah, it truly is. It absolutely. All right, we can't let that happen. There's the bottom line. That can't be the way we go, because if we do, then we have literally failed in the opportunities that we have to actually make meaningful change. We're just putting the same old, fox in the hen house. Just hey, go screw this one up too while you're at it. And I'll tell you what will happen too, Steph, is I really believe that they would create it in such a way that the schools would then have to participate, like you kind of described. But then you'll have a ton of these great educational alternative private schools or homeschooling, hubs or whatever, they'll choose not to participate because they don't want this, which is the whole reason why they are separate in the first place, because their intent was to be not the state. That can't happen.
So the frustrating thing is that the private schools and the homeschool type parents that want to follow the state curriculum would then have the ability to move their money around or move their children around within the confines of that system. But anybody who wanted to do anything different than what the state is already doing would be restricted from doing so.
Yeah, that's okay. I feel the fight brewing. So let me ask you this. As we look at this, Governor Ivey is saying that there is indeed something brewing right now. I've heard it through sources. I know you've heard it through these other coalition sources you've talked about, that there truly is something brewing. And yet the question is the how, basically. But then the other question is, how can the state speak up? How can the rank and file members of America speak up on all this?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to do is have an understanding of what school choice is. School choice is actual freedom and financial agency by parents to be able to move their children into any system and out of any system that they choose to on an annual basis. And so if you have that fundamental understanding of what school choice is, then you can see pretty clearly that these other alternatives aren't. And so what we need is for people to understand that, to understand that that's possible, and then to contact their legislator and contact their state, even their state school board member, and contact Governor Ivey's office and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth's office and say, hey, what we actually want is not something that you mislabel as school choice, but what we really want is educational freedom for our kids.
Well, I'm with you. And in the meantime, we're glad you're back. Thanks for being on today.
You. Absolutely. Always a pleasure to be with y'all.
All right. Thanks. That's Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. And by the way, you can find out more about them at www.alabamapolicy.org. I mean, they do great deep dives on the topics and the things that are happening. And so, you need to check them out. If you want to know the true, deep dive information that you need to go be armed for the battle, Alabama Policy Institute at alabamapolicy.org. All right. Y'all stay tuned. We're coming right back. Dipper number 3. The social contagion. I'll tell you about it when we get back.